This is RSBNB Update, episode 485, recorded Friday, October 3rd, 2014, 2 seconds in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update, the podcast that I enjoy coming to do here every week. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to us. We got an interesting little batch of updates to discuss, and I do mean little, but first...
Hey, y'all. It's me, Tracky, with my co-partner, Tracky.
You're doing the show with yourself.
Heck yeah.
And I inherited your name, then. Interesting.
You're a Tracky Jr.
Oh, that's quite the statement, though. You know, maybe one day we should have a quiz on that as to see which one of us is the larger one, right?
You do realize that without someone actually sitting next to us, Google and StarTrek.com is a very useful tool.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, that's true. But, I mean, just no, without... on an honor basis as to, you know...
That would be you.
I don't know. I missed the
thing. You realize
about...
we just started a Trekkie talk within, like, the first 2 seconds of the show?
Yes. That's got to be the earliest one ever, I think.
Didn't Brad 1.0 and you do one within 1 second?
Maybe. Just maybe. But
okay. Anyway, back to
I could continue on that if you want.
We could, but then we'll make this a 3-hour show.
That was 2 weeks ago, but this week is patch week and peer reset week. We'll talk about peer resets in just a little bit. That was promised when the combat level changes were brought back to the 138. But first, there's a whole selection of fixes and whatnot that came into the game this week. They range from all ends of the game, starting off with the Rise of the Six. That's the... 4-person combat Barrows encounter that came out last November, in which you fight supercharged versions of the Barrows Brother, and there was a whole selection of little tweaks and fixes to this. Players are no longer attributed kills or counted for rewards if they stand between the two entry barriers and do not participate in the fight, which is fair enough.
Okay.
Kirill will no longer start his bombing run while still on his platform and will no longer run back to his original positions if attacked by a familiar, which is good. The range of bombardment has also been increased, and the brothers can no longer enrage until he has finished his bombing run. I remember when we talked about this back in the day, that was one of the things that was deemed as very difficult about this, and it's amazing it's taken this long to get fixed. But nonetheless, I think Rise of the Six is one of the maybe forgotten.
My other group clan actually does it on a weekly basis. The one I'm in right now also does it too, but not as frequently. So I think it's still there. I just never get the time, and I'm a little lazy to join in.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll just tell everyone once again, and I'll keep this to under 30 seconds, I promise, but the reason I don't like combat on RS, particular high-stakes combat, is because you're so dependent on your connection, which is true with any game. But with RS, it's amplified that the tick rate is 0.6 seconds. So that means you're performing actions at a very, very slow rate. So this means that if your internet is out for even just a little bit, you click and your character is just standing there doing nothing. And if you die, well, you potentially lose millions in wealth. So that's kind of why I don't like combat, is it comes down to tick. But anyways, moving on from that, undead versions of the brothers will now be hidden underneath the alive versions of the brothers if they're stacked. Okay, that's good. And the Shadow Realm mechanic has been reworked. I remember that was also annoying, resulting in huge amounts of prayer potions and whatnot that were needed when people went down to fight these guys.
Woo!
You know, that's something we need to do. We need to get a group of four together one day and just, you know, say, screw it, we're going to risk some gear and whatnot and go and do Rise of the Six and see if we're at all lucky. Because, I mean, I don't know.
Have a dev dart?
Well, yeah, but that's cheating. That's cheating. All right. Now, moving on to the ninja updates that came with this week's patch. A very, very interesting one on the part of Jagex. You can now use the Google Authenticator as your bank pin in replacement of it. So that means if you have a Authenticator set up, you log in. You need that to log in. Then you also need the Authenticator to use the bank pin, which is nice because, you know, you're not necessarily going to have a pin number that you might forget. No, I'm not sure how you would forget a four-digit number, or it's not able to be reset. So, I don't know. What do you think? Have you enabled this?
No, never bothered with an authenticator.
Really?
I don't need it. I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty secure with what I do with RS stuff anyway, so I'm not worried. And yeah, if you're one of those higher stake people that have million, billion, trillions or party hats and stuff, yeah, sure, it might be better for you, but not for me. I'm cool with where I am.
Okay. But anyways, I don't know. I kind of feel that my account is already safe enough having Authenticator enabled. So I've been kind of teetering on the edge of maybe removing my bank pin altogether.
And just have the authenticator when you log in?
Yeah.
I thought about that too, because in theory, in order for them to gain access to RS, they need access to your email or your phone, and getting both is quite difficult.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, if you have authenticator, you might as well just have that, and then there's your second form of authentication, and once you're in, well, if they got your phone and your password, like you said, well, you're kind of screwed, right?
That basically means someone worked really hard to get into yours.
Yeah.
Either that or Jagex had a huge data breach, which is possible in the future. You never know.
Yeah. Wow. Just a bit of a throwback to what we were just talking about a moment ago. You know, it looks like the thing to get nowadays at Rise of the Six are actually the shields, because those are still going for around 7 million a piece.
I like those shields.
Yeah, the kite shields, but, level 90 kite shields. But at level 90, what, like, you can take one Dragor and a kite shield, but I mean, I can think of very few cases where you actually need such a powerful kite shield.
Well, remember, you know, one thing is that when we're fighting, we're very tend to just using dual weapons.
Yep.
Or using a great sword, and there are skills for a shield that are offensive in nature. We just don't use them.
Yeah, that's true.
And because most people don't carry a shield. But, you know, if you're one of those going in a group and you need to tank or whatnot, yeah, a shield's good.
Okay. Anyway, sorry for that little distraction there. That was just looking at the prices of things going on. So bank pin might go away in favor of authenticator, or do we even need bank pin at all? I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know.
You should keep the bank pin, because everybody's going to use the authenticator.
Yeah.
And from what I remember a long, long time ago, most people who used a bank pin for RS also use it as a real bank pin in real life.
Yeah, and if you're doing that, that's not a good thing to do. So, anyways, now this is something I've been wanting ever since EOC was released. Cooldown times can now be displayed on the action bar for the abilities. Finally!
Woo!
So you use that Berserk and you're wondering how long until you can hit it next? Well, you can see that. Just go into the interface settings and you can enable cooldown timers. This is so good. It's something that I can... It might be the smallest update we've seen this year, but for me, it's going to do oh so much in making my gameplay that much better and better of experience. So I am so happy about this little one right here.
You know what's funny, though, is if you're one of those people, when you fight, go solo and got worse dungeon, and you try to keep your adrenaline bar up, you actually, I remember I actually did this. I counted my head before I click on the next thing to keep it up.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just me.
Players on your ignore list can no longer attempt to teleport you.
Weird. Wonder who decided to try that update out.
Yeah. And let me just say that I almost forgot that the tele other spells even existed until this point.
It's clear why you should use the lodestones and whatnot.
Yeah. I guess there's a lunar group teleports as well, which used to be good for going to bossing encounters if you had someone who was running vengeance or something like that. So there's that. One of my favorite things used to be going to Waterbirth Island to collect snapegrass, and just for the hell of it, sometimes I would hit the group Waterbirth teleport to see if I'd have anyone who comes along for the ride, and I did once upon a time. And the poor guy must have hit accept on the teleport thing, and he wondered where the heck he ended up. So it's always kind of fun to do that and see if you have anyone who wants to come along.
Okay.
Death interface now displays which items won't be saved in your gravestone.
Usually it's the one that would destroyed on death anyway.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of wondering what the point of this is, because it's quite clear which ones are saved on your character. But I mean, I guess separating it out is just more clear, and when you're dealing with the high stakes situation like that, you would want to just have that extra level of clarity. Which is good, I guess.
Yes, and this is one I actually really like, because I did this on many occasions, not on purpose. You cannot click escape to cancel sending private messages.
Oh, good.
Thank you. That took them long enough. I remember I tried private message somebody, and then I said, oh, wait, never mind, I don't need to, and then I'm kind of fiddling through the whole thing trying to get back to just local chat.
Yeah, what you would have to do in that case is you'd have to actually click on one of the tabs.
Actually, no, I just mash enter till I get back.
That works too. Alrighty, so peer resets. Unfortunately, there are strict limits on when you can reset levels and whatnot. If it was me, I would reset all my combat stats to maybe, I don't know, 95?
95? Why 95?
Well, I mean, there was a bunch of combat 99s that I got, and they just came, and I didn't really feel like I needed to get 99 in them, nor did I want to get 99 in them. It just happened after using it over time. And, you know, I could have kept on a defensive mode or something like that, and just kept getting defense XP and not work on attack or strength. But I felt as though, you know, just finished it off and bite the bullet in that regard. So I was kind of hoping we'd say something like that for everybody to do it, but that is not the case. The limitations are okay for resetting defense, in my view, but not constitution and prayer. Because in order to reset constitution or prayer, you need to have level 5 or below in attack, strength, defense, magic, ranged, and summoning.
Okay.
And for resetting defense, it requires that your combined attack, strength, ranged, magic, and summoning total at least 10. Now, I know lots of skill pairs, and, you know, people who play RS that way in general, that they never really leveled up combat. And when we switched to the 200 combat level, This effectively meant that prayer and constitution were no longer factored in. And many of them took this as the case to level up prayer and constitution in their own skilling way, since it, you know, didn't really affect combat, the combat level. So what we ended up with is some skilled peers who had these levels that were up there. And, you know, I think that some of them also trained summoning as well in that regard. So there's skill peer clans out there that could have up to level 30 combat, but then having constitution and prayer thrown in really throws things out of whack. So I just think that having level 5 attack, strength, defense, or lower in all those skills is, you know, a bit of an issue for them. I think that if this was maybe level 30, I think that would have been more sane, especially for skills like summoning. Because, you know, summoning did factor into that formula, but like I said, there were skill peers who were okay with going up to level 30 combat or something like that. So that's why I say that in this way, the threshold for these needs to be a bit higher. 20 or 25, not 5.
I don't know. It's funny because there's no attack or strength on this one, or range or magic. But within magic, it's mostly one get around, just grab those stones anyway. I don't know. I never care for peers anyway, so... if you got screwed, sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a nice service, I think, that could have been offered, you know, to anybody who maintained a skill peer before. Just give them the option of doing this if they accidentally ruined it and, you know, maybe they had a 30 summoning or something like that. I just think that would have been a good thing to do, given that, you know, this was a decision made by the player base and not Jagex. So why should a person's character account be held hostage, so to speak, with combat level that was decided by their peers and not, you know, Jagex, who actually runs the game and presumably knows what's best. Anyways, with these resets, any completed quests, tasks will be uncompleted and award XP earned will be returned.
Okay. Alrighty then. Well, anyway, shall we get to the patch notes now?
Yes, let's do that.
Alright, patch notes. So, some of them that we kind of looked at early on. Players will no longer need 99 summoning to be able to toggle off combat daily challenges. Didn't know that was one.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
I don't know. It is part of the combat formula, but never really bothered with it.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see. Well, and anyway, players can now reattune crystal seeds into crystal weapon seeds. Two-handed and dual-wield magic damage is now more consistent while using low-level spells with higher-level weapons.
Yes, this was a major issue with the evolution of combat, folks. Basically, we never really talked about it all that much because it never came up in a question or anything. But let's say you have a Staff of Light and you have access to Fire Surge. Now, one would think that with a Staff of Light in one hand and Fire Surge in your casting hand that you would do more damage. But that wasn't the case as to how this worked. Basically, what was happening is that it was more economical for you to use the spell that was on par with your level of wand or staff that you were using. So you were, in essence, throwing runes away using surges when you could have been having the same effect using waves with the Staff of Light because they're both level 75 related. So I am happy to see that this has been retweaked. We'll need to do some more analysis on this, I think, now that this has been done. Sounds like a good excuse to go spend some time at the Glacors, methinks.
I don't know, because usually when we're doing this, you kind of use the other spells. The other ability, you don't just stand there and just cast off.
Yeah, but you need a spell anyways to cast, right?
You don't use any runes, though, unless you just auto-cast.
Yeah.
And if you're using Revelation, all the regular ones will pop on, unless you're using Old School.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's just a matter of being efficient with the runes, which is, I think, you know, you mentioned the runes, and I think that's something we really need to be mindful of these days. Given Rune still, Goldberg.
Still plenty of air and fires.
Yeah, but still, they're running out, and who knows what their price will be once the supply is exhausted. But I am very happy about this, and I do need to do some analysis on this. This is going to be a burning question for me. And just to throw something in here, fire runes have gone up to 41 GP each. At the end of August, at the end of last month, they were around 27 GP each. So, yeah. Anywho.
Let's see. A couple of typo fixes in Elf City.
Oh,
good. This Skirmisher of Strength has been renamed to Skirmisher of Attack, and now requires an attack of 85 rather than Strength. These, as well as Skirmishers, are range of magic that provide an accuracy bonus to the relevant combat style.
And, you know, this was needed, I think, because these were the ones that gave critical chance, right?
Gave you a chance of hitting more.
Oh, yes, right.
Strength was the one that gave you a chance of hitting a critical if you got lucky.
Yes, right. I was a little bit confused about that, but you're right. There are ones now that give straight-up strength bonuses. But yeah, these are good rather than damage bonuses, because with the, you know, the removal of crit chance and previously before we had the current damage bonus set come in, you used to have to rely on other sources to get damage boosts. Now these two Skirmishers previously were doing the same thing, which was kind of useless. And before this update landed this week, I was actually sitting in my port and realizing that, oh, these things do effectively the same thing now. I wonder when that's going to be fixed. And what do you know? Here on Monday, this update came out and it was fixed. So that's good.
Ha ha ha.
What?
Nothing. It's lovely. All right. I actually have so many ancient bones in ports that I really should use them up, but I don't know what to make. And usually I'm thinking about making a Skirmisher of Vampirism, but I don't. I'm just lazy.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they're quick money too, aren't they?
Yeah, you want to make the tradable ones, I guess, but the ones I'm really trying to get more of is, interestingly enough, is the spices and the liqueur.
Really?
Spices, I can turn my rocktails into rocktail soup and sell them for more money.
Okay. Well, I guess that's fair, since you can fish rocktail and whatnot, and you want to do that.
Actually, interestingly enough, I finally used up every living mineral I had in my bank.
Oh, wow.
Had about 1,000 of them. I finally used them all up on rocktail. I was like, okay, time to sell.
Very good. Well, that's pretty much it for the fixes this week. And, you know, October, RuneFest, busy month for them. So let's give them a bit of a break that there was no main update and just a patch note update. So that's good.
Anyways. Yeah, they're probably trying to get ready for Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay, and next we have the bonus XP swap shop.
Yes.
So, Shane, how much bonus XP do you have right now?
Well, I had about 2 million of the bonus XP stacked together in various skills and a whole bunch of it in 99s that, you know, I didn't want to train, nor do I need the bonus XP for. So I'm happy that this update came out. And, you know, it really shows how much bonus XP we do have floating around in the game. Basically, the way it works is you just sell the bonus XP out there, and then you can buy it back in XP for different skills. But you will take a loss in that, so be careful in what you're selling for. I would only sell if you're looking for XP that is in a skill that you absolutely want to train there.
Most of the time, I just take those XP and just convert them into cash if I don't need it.
Yeah, I do that too. And, you know, this thing was only around for this week, so unfortunately, those of you guys hearing this, next week won't be able to take advantage of this because it goes away on the 5th. But other things that you were able to purchase XP outright. Maybe a good idea. Skilling outfit pieces, 250 credits, and you get a random piece in an outfit that you choose.
And I can trade in my older ones, can I?
Your old outfits?
Uh-huh.
No, you can't trade in outfits. It's only bonus XP that he takes.
God dang it.
Yeah.
I have so many of those useless outfits that I don't need anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, I traded my stuff in and I got a smithing blacksmith outfit because I was only missing one piece from it and it was 250 credits. So I thought that was okay. But the rest of them, you know, it's such a small bonus. I wouldn't do that unless you absolutely like the skill or it's a long skill like woodcutting or smithing. Like, that's another reason I did that. So.
Okie dokie.
Cosmetic items, flying goblin hat, swagger stick, dungeoneering tokens.
Ugh, useless. Might as well just go dungeoneering.
Yeah.
Or disciples.
Like, to give you an example, you get 100 tokens per ticket. So with my 600 points I had, that would have only been 60,000 tokens, which, you know, you can get through sinkholes after a decent amount of time. So do not do the dungeoneering tokens, whatever you do on this one. Protein bars and planks, that might be something to look at if you're training construction currently. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharged Silverhawk boots. So you can just buy the feathers for them and off you go. So that's an interesting option too, I think.
They're in such a demand right now too.
Yeah.
All those feathers. Anything else you want to touch on this one? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
No, not really. Just take advantage of this while you can. Because it's going away on Monday. So, I mean, Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully he'll come back. Because bonus XP is something that just stacks up over time and you don't know what to do with it at some point. I know we know people that have 20 million plus bonus XP, and I can't help but thinking that if that was all put in one skill, then it would be kind of, you know, a little bit overpowered. But anyways, that's a topic for another day.
Okay.
So this week we only got one poll to talk about, and that's a reaction survey for Balthazar's raffle, which ended the other day. Did you win anything at all through the month?
Oh, yeah.
What did you win?
I got 3 darts. I won the portable bank stuff 2 or 3 times, I think.
Really?
Got some outfits. One piece was a farming one, which I actually needed. The rest were cooking and crafting. And I was like, really? The two things that I trained so hard to get an island, you give me that stuff? So that was trash.
Go for 120.
No luck on 100 million. Or did the... no. Not worth it. If I get it, I'll get it. I ain't rushing to it.
Yeah, I mainly focused on 100 mil and the God Swords for this one. I didn't get anything. And I'm a gambler, so I have no problem with that. And I really accepted that, you know, this is something that you do. And you just do it in the true sense of a lottery where you put some tickets in. And if you get lucky, you get lucky. Well, if not, then too bad. Probably be another one next year. So,
Got some lamps.
Yeah, lamps.
But for me, though, it was more of there was always two. I voted on it was okay, primarily because one had to either to get a second one had to do your daily or go to go see a Jagex mod at a specific time period. The time period wasn't exactly that useful for me.
Yeah,
so getting to that was kind of hard.
And you know, that's why they added the whole challenge thing. And I think that's a much more effective way of doing it, because I think every day there's a challenge that somebody could do on your list. So it's not that big of a deal.
Uh-huh.
So what did you vote? Great. I enjoyed it. It was okay. I didn't like it. I didn't have time to play it, or I didn't want to play it.
I think most people played it anyway, which shows in the result.
Yeah, 53% enjoyed this.
Those who didn't like it, they don't like anything anyway, so who cares?
Would you like to know what I voted in this?
You enjoyed it or you hated it?
I said I didn't like it, and here's why.
No.
This will be under a minute, I promise. I felt that with this raffle update, it was kind of, you know, it didn't really pale in comparison to, or it wasn't as good in comparison to, say, the May thing we had this year, the RuneScape Road Trip, or last year's Super September. So, you know, that's kind of something that I had in the back of my mind with this, that it seems like, oh, okay, it's just really a way to, you know, give the community something. And it didn't really seem to have much point in it in the actual community sense. It's not like, you know, the proceeds of the tickets or something were going to, you know, clean up Edgeville or something like that. So.
Okay.
So that's why I voted for that. And I mean, it is nice to get stuff like that, but I think it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which I was right, you always hate stuff.
No. No, absolutely not. All right, okay. Let's move on.
RuneFest coming!
What's yes,
up? We finally got the
schedule
for RuneFest. And it's gonna... Let's see. Decided to bring you RuneFest, planning day. And of course, everyone can watch on Twitch, see what's going on! And it's gonna start every day at 10.
Yeah, it's only one day, unfortunately. You know, I'm a little bit perturbed that the first panel at 11 a.m. is the old school panel. It's kind of weird, but anyways. New RuneScape product reveal. This is going to be the big one at 1 o'clock. Any idea what that is?
A Jagex app? A Jagex official app for RS, Transformers, and any other game they're planning on doing?
So a propaganda platform.
Marketing.
Maybe. My guess, though, is that we'll see some sort of new technology pertaining to the new graphics engine, the next step after the HTML5 project. That would be my guess on that. And then RuneScape 2015. Those two are going to be the big ones to see, in my opinion. So that's only on the main stage, and there's a whole bunch of Meet the Maker things, and they only got two parallel ones going on at the same time, and last year they had like four of them at the same time. So definitely looks like it's a bit toned down, and you know, from what we heard last year, I think this is probably a good thing, because I remember that Alex said that it was very hard to get around and, you know, actually decide what we wanted to go see at RuneFest. So maybe it is a good idea. It's a little bit slimmer.
Well, apparently also at 1900 hours, which is about 7 p.m. their local time, they're going to have a giant in-game 99 party.
Oh, good.
That'll be interesting. But right before that, we have a cosplay parade. I'm waiting for... Hey, you think Uncle Dano and his son is going to be there?
No.
They may have sneaked in. I mean, they do have a rune full rune set.
Yeah, that would be nice to see once again. We got to add that to them. but it's just hard for most of us North American types to get over there. But hold that thought for a minute. What would you go as?
If I could?
Yeah, to the costume thing.
God, I'm gonna have to
Sandwich
go
lady?
ask. Why am I with being the woman? Let's see. Who do I go as? I don't know. Ooh, I know. Let's see if I ever get the reference. I'll go as those assassins and play no importance in the very beginning.
The Death Lotus assassins?
I guess so.
Well, that's not right. That's completely the wrong gender for a start, you fool.
Anyway, you know what I'll do? I'll wear a bucket or I'll wear a barrel around me. I can become part of the prop too, which would be funny as heck.
Yes.
All right. Oh no, hey, I need to go on stage. Oh, okay, go on through.
That's so good.
Okay.
But anyways, we will have some Twitter accounts for you to follow. I will get that info to you guys later on this week, but of course the Twitch stuff. We always try and put together a nice list of Twitter people that you can follow, so I think I'm going to have about 3 people that you can follow on Twitter who are going to be there, so that's going to be good fun. Also, we will be having someone on the show from RuneFest who was there, as we always do, so look forward to that. Not next week, but the following week. All right.
Okey-dokey.
So moving on from that, we're just going to talk a bit about RuneFest in-game, since we are on the RuneFest track here. As was mentioned a couple weeks back, Polyvore, a.k.a. Polly on RS, is hosting an in-game RuneFest on the 11th. It's the exact same day. It runs from 2 a.m. Pacific until 11 a.m. Pacific time. So it runs the entire time that RuneFest is going on, and he's got a whole slew of things that are happening. RSBNB is supporting this. We might have some event going on for this. We're still waiting to hear the final details on that from the ambassador team. But nonetheless, you should definitely have a look at his forum thread on the official forums, where you can post this and, you know, see what's going on and what you might end up doing here. Food and beverage drop party, a social dance party, RuneFest fire making, a RuneScape, best contest, the Great Fire of Varrock, and the Varrock Conga Train. Those are just some of the things that are listed right there. So he's already got a full slate of things going on. So definitely attend if you are up in the, early hours for us here in North America. But, or if you're in Europe, then it's right in the middle of the day for you. So it works quite well.
I'm in La La Land.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is going to be kind of hard for some of us to hit on. So that's why we're not entirely sure if we're going to be running an event at this thing, considering it runs from 3 a.m. until noon my time the next day. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Well, with that being said, we got the behind the scenes for October. Interesting stuff coming this month. Iron Man mode, smarter familiars, drop table reworks, and the Halloween event with a Halloween quest and that divination distraction and diversion. Which one of these is going to be your favorite?
Well, let's see what the quest does. It's going to be a simple one, but let's see. Drop table rework, but the fact that free players get a little mini update is good too, in my opinion. Smarter familiars looks interesting, but I'm kind of hoping for a little bit more combat-oriented familiars. With evolution of combat out, I actually see my familiars actually die. Which back in the olden days, killing a familiar took ages.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be buffing the life points of them, but definitely make them smarter, because they're not very smart right now.
Okay.
For me, one thing I'm happy about seeing this month is definitely the Beast rework drop table. You know, Ghosts were chosen in the poll, but Beast won the other one, or came in second, rather. And I think it's really unfair that something that's level 90 Slayer, namely the Dark Beast, has such a garbage drop table.
Actually, it was kind of good that they had such a garbage drop table. You didn't have to worry about picking stuff up.
Oh.
You just click, go. Oh, it's dead. Click. Oh, okay. Especially if you get the bone crusher with the amulet, the little necklace thing that gives you prayer points for burying bones. You can stay there indefinitely with Soul Split.
Yeah. And they also dropped the Serenic Scales, so if you grinded that for a long time, you could potentially end up with some Serenic Armor. But anyways, I think another interesting thing this month is going to be this quest. It's a non-combat, novice members quest, focusing heavily on puzzles. And you're going to be able to replay it, and it's going to get harder each time you do it. So that definitely is something for questers, and a replayable quest is something we haven't seen before. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all works.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be my favorite of the month, and you know, we'll just have to see how Halloween turns out, because I don't think Jagex has a good track record on planning this year's Halloween thus far, now have they?
Technically, we ended up planning the Halloween events, if you think about it.
Yes, we indeed did. Anyways, I think that's it for RS updates this week, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
This is Halloween.
You can sing that in 3 weeks. I mean 4 weeks. Whoops.
Same thing.
Or is it 3 weeks?
One, two, yeah, three, four.
Four. Four. Four. Yeah.
Hey, I've got 5 weeks.
Yay. Alrighty, moving on to the questions. This one is an audio question from the RR Man.
Hey guys, RR Man here again. Thought I'd send an old school MP3 file because last week, even though my name's RR Man, Real Robots Man, I didn't mean to sound like a robot. Man, I am so pumped to get into some Elf City action. Doing some of the gem rocks, that was real cool, and then I went up and just started mining some Eddy. You know, why not? Then I saw these shiny two rune rocks, and I went, I'll get me some of that. Go over there, boom, have to have a level 85 mining. Yep, that was a bit of a brain fart moment for me, and I felt especially bad when I looked over at the date, and I realised I've actually been playing the game for 10 years now. So, yeah, I'm going to go start mining a little bit, get that level, so that I can actually mine the title of the game. Alright, quick question, standard question, what's everyone planning to do for the Double XP weekend in November? I actually think I'll do runecrafting. Won't cost me anything. But damn, that skill is slow. That skill's slow even when you have double XP, and I had 500k of it. Secondly, I'm going to sell all my resources when that weekend comes up. When do you think's the best time to sell? Should I sell it a weekend before, or should I sell it like on the day of the weekend, the day before the weekend, just trying to get that max profit, because I know there's going to be people out there buying just whatever to get those buyable skills. I think I'm going to be on the other side of that for once and make myself some good bank. Peace out, guys.
All right, I've actually decided that I'm going to be doing thieving on the double XP weekend, camping at the Monkey Knife Fighters. That is insane XP with double XP.
So when is a good time for him to sell?
You know, this is something that always comes up as to whether or not it's a good thing. I do know that you do not want to sell on the day of, because on the day of, stuff is already leaving the economy. The production stuff's already leaving the economy. So the best time to sell, I want to say, is the days leading up to the double XP weekend. I mean, that's going to be when the last minute people are going to be buying it. It's when you're going to get the best price. I'd even wager to say that 3 days before might be a good time, because if you think about it, when it comes down to it, people are either planning really far ahead, or they're going to plan it late, as in 3 days before. But if they're wanting to plan it at the day of, you're not going to have as much luck, because at that point they will know that the market prices have already gone up. So you might not have as much luck selling it the night before as you would 3 days or a week before. So I'd look at the range of between 3 days and a week, and you know, just watch the economy for what you're looking to sell, because I can pretty much say that all sectors of the economy will not behave the same.
For me, actually, what's funny is, that reminds me, I need to go back to my kingdom and collect some goods. But anyway, I've been using our GE Grand Exchange portfolio, and usually the best time to sell is right at the day they announce it, because that's when everything skyrockets. God knows why. It usually dies down. Right now, everything's going down, except for a couple items. I plan to just sell every single herb I got, except Torstal. I have quite a few of the extremes and everything else, and you know, small amount of overload, so I'm not too worried about needing stuff. But for me, what's going to happen is I'm going to, you know, Shane hates me when I say this, but I am going to maximize my profit by putting my herbs into water-filled vials.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
And the thing
what
is,
are you going to do on double XP weekend for XP, though?
XP? You know, I'm probably just going to finish, maybe see how much summoning stuff I can make. I'm 97 summoning, maybe try for 99, but probably end up getting 98 and be done with it, depending on how much stuff I have. Other than that, I'm going to try level up the engineering for a while.
Yeah, you would. That is definitely your skill.
And, you know, no, not really. I just want to make it look nice. Then after a while, probably just end it all with some mini farming runs here and there because...
Yeah. Oh, God, how could I forget that? Yes, that.
I always plant trees a couple days beforehand and have my seeds ready to grow and pops on, jump all over.
Yes, done. Yes, yes.
I pay them off just to make sure they won't die because I want to maximize
and
what I can.
Let me say that you're only going to get one elder tree and one spirit tree, or all the spirit trees done, because the elder trees take 70 hours to grow from seedling to being ready to check. So you're only going to get one of those. So make sure you plant those 3 days before bonus XP weekend.
Same with, so I actually need to get the stuff for the spirit trees, so the safety stuff, that's going to take me a while.
Yeah, it's ground silka tooth, monkey bars, and 5 monkey nuts.
Monkey nuts? Oh, man.
Yeah, monkey nuts.
So I need to find some monkeys and do a little operation?
Uh-uh.
No, I like how you're silent, Shane.
That is the one combination in game that people still laugh about. Monkey bars, monkey nuts, and ground teeth.
Okay, but I plan to really just put all my herbs into water-filled vials, and if you get the dungeoneering reward, you actually get 10% extra, so that's just more money for me. And
interesting.
Yeah, remember? And flog them.
Yeah.
Sell them all.
That's definitely the fastest herbal or XP. Thank you, Mr. RR Man.
He's our man.
Hello, Shane, and welcome back, Tricky. It's Panacius here. I have two questions for you this week. Having just watched the future update stream from Jagex, they showed a few interesting ideas coming up in the future of the game, one of them being the new rewards on the Treasure Trails Hard and Elite Clue Scrolls. They're introducing, as a rare drop, a die that will allow a player to colour their tier 90 weapons and armour, as well as looking into having it available for the superior version of the Port's armour. This die will be tradable and sold on the GE. However, there was discussion about once you have coloured your equipment, you'd never be able to uncolour it, and thus never be able to sell it, as once having been coloured, it becomes untradable. This is fine for the armour, since it degrades and isn't tradable anyway, but for the weapons, which are pretty expensive items, such as your dry gores and ascensions and such, it is a little controversial. Do you think players should have the opportunity to remove the die so they can be sold in the future if they want to get rid of them, as better weapons become available, even if they need to pay a fee to an NPC to do it? Or do you agree that once the colour has been changed, it is locked to you forever, for better or worse? My second question relates to the new iOS release by Apple. My son has an iPad 4 and wants to do the software upgrade, but I haven't allowed him as yet since there has historically been problems with the new software on older units, and I know there were several problems with it on the iPhone 4 and 4S models. Since Shane is somewhat of an expert in the Apple field, I figured I'd ask your advice about this. Is the update okay for the iPad 4, or should I stick to my guns and not let him update it? Anyway, a longer question today, so I'm sorry about that, but thanks for your time, and happy RuneScaping to all.
Woo! Okay. Let's begin with the RS stuff. I saw something about Dai and treasure trails and whatnot. I think I want to take a middle ground here and say that make the die permanent, but leave the weapons and armors tradable if they're initially tradable. Because what you effectively do here is you can bring some rarity back into the market. So let's say that you have dry gorse that you can color bright pink, but bright pink is the rarest die. And let's say people really want a bright pink dry gore, well, then they're going to have to pay for it. So if you're a lucky enough person that you have dry gores and you get this die, or you buy the die, you can just put that on your weapon and use it and then sell a pink dry gore. So I think that if they're going to be permanent, the items should still be tradable. But if you don't want to do permanent, just go with the cleaning person, like you said.
I actually wouldn't bother with the cleaning person. I think the issue with that one is, if you're trying to get it to sell it, why would you get a ticket to someone to be a money sink in order to sell it? So, you might as well just high-alk it. You get more money for your value.
But you don't want to high-alk a dry gore. Let's be clear on that.
But, also stuff that's going to be untradeable, dying it won't really matter too much. It would be interesting. It actually would be interesting if you can dye parts of the armor instead of just the whole thing, or parts of the weapon instead of the whole thing. Let people really customize it, make it look beautiful. But that's going to be kind of hard to do. Kind of like you do the hilt, you do the blade, you do the pommel, helmet, you do whatever. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, I think. The thing that I would be kind of leery of with my suggestion is that let's say you have a die that's really expensive and you put it on a weapon. You put the weapon on and you can effectively make money by buying the Drygor weapon and then putting die on it. That's, the kind of the thing that I think is a bit of a problem, so maybe that's why they're not doing it. But nonetheless, I think that, we got to have some way to sell these items, because it doesn't make sense to make an item non-tradable. That just doesn't seem right, because we already have colored items that are colored through loyalty things. So if we're getting something like that, then why don't we, just have it as a cosmetic option that you can turn on and off? It just costs so much to unlock it and then do it through the same loyalty shop interface, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Many other games actually do use a die system, and usually dies are expensive, especially the ones that are very
hard
to get.
Team Fortress 2?
Guild Wars is also one, World of Warcraft is another. Mostly, a lot of MMOs kind of have a little die system that does it.
Yeah. I don't even know why RS is going this way, but if they want to, I guess that's fine with me. Just keep it as a cosmetic override, and I think that would actually solve this problem in the best way.
Well, if you also think about it, it's been kind of like that for a while, too. They've been introducing dyes into the game, into RS for a while now. It's just more of a reward. Although, people like dyes. I mean, wouldn't you like to be in full Supreme Tetsu armor as a white knight in shining armor?
Yeah, or even have some sort of whiteness associated with it. Or a nice shade of blue or green, for example.
Or
so,
you want to be a hidden, or you can put on your Death Lotus and as a full black and really look like a freaking ninja.
Yes, indeed.
Those are cool.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see when that comes out. Probably will be November, December, maybe. I don't know. I didn't watch the stream, but
Okay.
With regards to iOS 8, though, the iPad 4th generation is the, as it stands right now, the second newest iPad, because currently we got the iPad Air as the newest, so then the 4th generation was the one before that. iOS 8 is compatible with that. iOS 8 is compatible as far back as the iPad 2. Now, I wouldn't say it's a good idea to put iOS 8 on the iPad 2, because that is a very old CPU, and as you said, people were having problems with iOS 8 on the iPhone 4S, which is really showing its age, but, you know, it was the free phone, so they did need to make iOS 8 at least work with that version, or with that hardware, rather. But to cut it all down, iPad 4th generation should have no problem at all running iOS 8. We have iPad 3rd generation, the Retina HD version, and that has no problem running iOS 8 at all whatsoever. In fact, very little little noticeable performance degradation since iOS 7. So by all means, go for it on the 4th generation iPad.
Okay, actually, as of right now, my work does not allow me to update my iPad to iOS 8.
Well, that's the government for you.
No, well, that, and also, remember, everything has to be compatible, so that takes time. I have to make sure all the encryption and security is in place, because, you know, breach is bad.
Yeah, I guess they are doing that, so that's good for them at least, but question is, do you trust the people performing those audits?
Well, you trust Apple, don't you?
Oh, I thought you meant that the government was doing it.
No, well, it's iOS, and usually the apps are, you know, Citrix, Receiver, and whatnot, and they're just making sure everything's compatible.
Oh, okay.
And whatnot. And then we do RN for remote access and all that good stuff.
Alrighty, well. We'll move on to the text question now, and that's from Flash. Dear hosts, what apps would you say you use and or enjoy on your phone? Mine would probably be Twitter, YouTube, and either Spotify or Pandora, depending on how I'm feeling. Fun fact, Canada now has access to Spotify.
Okay. So, well, what apps do you have, Shane? Find My iPhone? Find My iPad?
No, I don't have those installed. If they're needed, I just look on the website, though I should install them, seeing as I do look after a whole bunch of iPhones now. But looking at what I use day to day, there's a couple of things that I could not live without on the phone. Well, maybe that's going a bit far. But the main things that I use are my calculator, which is pCalc Lite. It got a very big update for iOS 8. It actually lets you customize the key layout yourself. Previously, there were set themes, and you could only do that. So if you're missing a key, you can put that on there right now, which is really nice. Another one that I use day-to-day is Clear. It's a to-do list manager with a fully gestural UI, meaning you pull down to create new lists and items. You swipe back and forth to complete and delete items. Swipe up to remove lists that are done. Yeah, so a whole bunch of stuff really on Clear, so that's a good one. It's universal and it works really well over iCloud with the Mac. 1Password for managing passwords. Use that on both iOS and OS X, though you would probably want to use LastPass if you're on a PC. Let's see what else is there. There was one more I wanted to talk about. Ah, yes, Flight Radar 24. This was a pick of the week last year, or earlier this year sometime, pardon me. But basically what this does is it uses your location and it shows what planes are flying above your head. Right now I can see that there is one on its way from Fort McMurray to Edmonton, and it is descending due at the airport in about 2 minutes, just taking a cruise over northern Edmonton right now. And the really interesting thing is using your location, if you point the app up at the sky and enable augmented reality mode, it will show you what the plane is as you move your camera through the sky. So that's really neat to look at as well. So I'd say those are my main ones that I use most of the time. And then there's also games like Word Feud and Chess, Threes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I've been using YouTube and Pandora a lot, mostly because when I'm driving to work, I turn on music. Unless I feel like listening to the news, because in case something does happen or did happen. Yeah. Got a couple of games on my app, on my phone. One game I really enjoyed was Galaxy on Fire 2 for the Android. It's also on iPhone as well. I thought that was a nice, fun game. Crack Chrome, Firefox, a couple of flashlight apps.
Still have the Rain one?
Nah, so it's time to go. It was getting to the point where, like, in order for me to advance, I had to basically, you know, beat the phone, like, for 24 hours to even get close to the next one. I said, okay, time to go. And let's see. Yeah, those are the ones. A poker game.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and a keyboard app, because default Google was just way too small, and I asked around for a decent one. And one I got is nice. It's called a keyboard.
I'm sorry. I still don't see the need why anyone needs a custom keyboard.
Because the buttons were bigger.
Okay.
Yes, Shane. Okay. The buttons were bigger. That's why I wanted it. Every time I was typing with the default Google one, I ended up trying to press like three keys at once. I said, all right, I need something that's bigger. And that was it.
Interesting.
That's the only reason why. More space in between. And that's about it. I don't have that much on my phone. Do like Pandora, okay. Usually when I am driving, listen to it.
You know, that's one thing I wish we had here that we still don't.
Pandora?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't listen to music, though.
And that's the reason why. It's because I have no idea what the heck to listen to.
Well, you hate everything now.
No, I don't. Well, most modern stuff, maybe. But anyways, we're getting a bit off topic. I can say that if you have an iPhone 6 Plus, which is selling a lot better than the 6 for some reason, you will have lots of space on your phone for these apps. So think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, speaking of that, we're going to already move into the tech news segment then. But first, if you want to send an audio question like these two fine individuals did, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. And we had 2 of 5 audio questions this week. If we get to 5 audio questions in a week, we will do a live show the following week. So keep that in mind. If you and your friends are thinking about sending in audio questions, you might be able to get us to do a live show.
Okay.
So last week we talked Apple. This week we are talking Windows, specifically Windows 10.
What happened to 9?
Windows 10. Yeah, what happened to 9, right? Some people said 7, 8, 9, if you know what I mean.
I see. Ha, funny.
Yes. Other people say that it's because marketing and Microsoft wants everyone to forget what was Windows 8, so they're going far away very fast. Other things suggest that it's because ancient applications written a long time ago for installers and whatnot identify Windows based on a Windows string, like a substring, and Windows 9 is what you would see if you were looking for Windows 95 or Windows 98. So there's that as well. So there's a whole myriad of reasons as to potentially why this is the case. We've not really heard from Microsoft as to why, but Windows 10 is very interesting. I will say that as a full-time Mac user and only using Windows on my gaming machine, I am impressed by what I've seen so far with Windows 10. You had a chance to look at it?
Well, it's basically kind of like what they did with 8 and gave the regular default, you know, desktop screen for people who like that. Basically, try and make it very cloud-based. I can fit all tablets. I have operating system that can do tablets, laptops, big ones, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is that it looks like it's connected to an Xbox here as well. So remains to be seen if the Xbox will actually run something that looks like Windows 10. So many interesting little things happening here with Windows 10. First things first, the start menu is back. Whether or not you like the start menu or want it to die a horrible death, I think I'm in the latter camp, but it's back.
You can't get rid of this thing, man. Old people need it.
Yeah.
Change is bad.
Yeah, are you a fan of the start menu?
A little bit, but I'm just staying with 7 for a while. I have no reason to upgrade.
So the start menu in Windows 10 is a combination of what you know of the Windows 7 start menu plus the Windows 8 start screen. So the idea is that you can customize this to your heart's content. You can have Metro tiles on the start menu that look like the Windows 8 start screen. You can have menu items that are like the old style of start menu in Windows 7, and they work gracefully together. And you can control these tiles and whatnot to be the exact size that you want them to be. And what's really interesting about this is that Windows 10 knows if you're on a desktop or if you're on a tablet. And if you're on a tablet and you press the start button, you get a full screen representation as you do now in Windows 8. But if you're on a desktop, you get a more start menu-like experience, which I want to say is good because it lowers the barrier of entry to the new OS.
Oh, yeah?
You can also run all the Metro applications, or as they like to be called, Windows 8-style applications in their own Windows now, which is nice. Very happy to see that. Better splitting and task management. I haven't had a chance to try any of this out because I only have one Windows machine to install on, and I didn't want to do that yet this week. But from what I've heard, the preview that you can get currently is usable. So if you're kind of a user who likes to be on the bleeding edge of things and not worried if something's going to break, you can download the beta of this for free. Which is always interesting to do. So I will probably download this and have a look, because if you think about it, it's a free Windows install, right? And who can argue with that?
A lot of people.
Yeah. And the biggest point of this is, I think, that no, it's going to be a free update for Windows 8 users.
Who knows? I think they have a Vista, so maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, they need to do that in a way. And if you think about it, that is the way tech is going, because nobody charges for the next version of Android or iOS, right? And Apple kind of realized that, you know, you can't really charge for the OS updates on that system either. So you might as well make your OS updates free. Microsoft has plenty of other avenues for making money. I will be getting Windows 10 when it comes out.
Okay. Yeah, have fun. Let's see. Well, I don't know. We'll see about Windows 10 for me. I'm happy with 7.
Just be careful, because your 7 will eat 9.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for the day they said, we're going to stop supporting 7. Uh-oh.
I think you got until 2017.
Yeah, I taught that to the federal government. Them forever to get from XP to 7, so.
Yep. Alrighty.
Let's see. And Google to offer school students unlimited storage for free. Cloud-based.
This is good. Lowering the barrier to entry to Google products. And, you know, as it said, it's kind of like they're assimilating the people young and saying, oh, Google, good. Let's go get Android phones. It's going to be just like this. That's probably what Google wants, but...
Yeah, don't worry.
I mean, even if...
Go ahead.
Even if Google is going to do this and they're not, you know, necessarily going to have the best solution for cloud stuff, I think that at the end of the day, in lowering their prices to nothing for schools, they are setting a message that other people, Microsoft and Apple in particular, should look at something similar for education institutions to, you know, get them on their software. Microsoft, especially if they want to make this Windows 10 thing take off. Ooh, you get a free terabyte of storage with Windows 10? Oh, yeah, that's good.
Hmm.
Same thing with Apple. Make all of iCloud Dropbox free. They certainly have the capacity. Hmm?
There's Dropbox for some of us.
Yeah.
Still useful. Still useful.
Dropbox, I think, is the best one if you're looking for a traditional file system. But at the end of the day, Dropbox doesn't really integrate well with any operating systems out there.
What's Microsoft version? I guess just
OneDrive,
the way
Office Cloud? I think it's called nowadays. OneDrive?
I don't know. I don't know about OneDrive, because usually they had such a really crazy thing with Microsoft Office. Was it 2014 or 2014, where you had to connect it to the cloud in order for it to work and everything else, and that was like, oh, forget it.
I know that their whole activation thing is painful. I dealt with that last month, so they really do need to look at doing things differently for that. But
actually, you know what's funny is, you remember, like, I doubt you remember this, but remember, like, a good, God, we're 2014, a good 10 years ago when I told you that San Francisco was trying to get free Wi-Fi in the city?
Uh-huh.
We finally got it.
Yeah.
They're kind of piloting, but it's run by Google. So we have Google Wi-Fi, and funny enough, it's a hashtag.
Yeah.
It's around certain neighborhoods that are, they considered high touristy areas. They're hoping to expand it. Google's hoping to expand. But obviously, it's considered unsecure, so you won't want to be doing any banking while on there.
Yeah. And, I mean, at the end of the day, when you think about it, Google Drive and the spreadsheets and whatnot really aren't the best applications out there for doing things on the web. They're good for collaborating with people on the web, as we do now for the show. We use Google Drive. But if you're creating professional documents that need to be shared around, email, the printed and whatnot, I still think Microsoft Office is what people go to on Windows. And I work on OS X is perfectly good enough, in my view.
Actually, what's interesting enough, where I work, we can actually collaborate on a Microsoft document all together, all at once.
Yeah, so there you go. That's
so
good.
It's,
I think that's a new feature.
Semi-new feature. It's with, I guess, OneDrive or something.
It would have to be.
As well.
It would have to be.
But, you know, it's a nice little feature. You can do things with it that's interesting. I think the only issue with it is just that it's still painful to try and get them to work properly.
Indeed.
Okay.
Anyways, our last tech news story this week actually relates to some technical difficulties in the sky pertaining to cellular and Wi-Fi signals. The FAA in the U.S. has said that they have discovered that it is possible for cellular or Wi-Fi signals to interfere with the displays on Boeing aircrafts, particularly if the signal is set up properly and interferes with these, it can make these screens black out. Honeywell says that this has not been experienced in flight. It was known in development test, and this was addressed in 2012, and the planes have been queued to be fixed on their next refit when they come back for maintenance and whatnot. But it's interesting to definitely hear about something like this, because, you know, it's always seems as though it's some sort of thing of a myth, or, you know, but it's actually true in this case.
Mm. I mean, you know, as I remember, there was an episode of Mythbusters kind of that tried this as well. You remember that episode?
Not particularly, no.
Well, basically, they said, can Wi-Fi signals from the spectrum actually interfere with the cockpit? So they tested it out. They went on a brand new, you know, mini plane and turned everything on and blasted it with radio waves and Wi-Fi waves and whatever other waves you can think of. Basically, nothing happened mm-hmm. to the instruments. But the reason behind it of banning electronics is because while at the time the idea of, you know, them actually interfering with the cockpit was, you know, probably slim, but the idea of that there's so much more new technology coming out every single freaking day that if you want us, the FCC, to spend a couple billion dollars testing every single new phone, new toy, new, you know, Nintendo DS to see if it does interfere with the cockpit, you're out of your mind. So was he just ban them from using it while takeoff and landing?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just turn it off. You can wait for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and even then, with this, if there was such an issue, pilots really didn't seem all too concerned because they have alternate instruments that run on different systems and most cases an analog one as well. So, you know, you don't need to worry about the screen blanking out. But it's just an interesting thing to think about.
And hopefully, hopefully the pilot is good enough to fly by the horizon. I mean, you're a pilot for
a reason. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, otherwise something ends up being something wrong, right?
Hey!
That was on TV!
I hate you.
It was on TV! On a public newscast! Anyways. Skill of the month. The September skill of the month is over. That was the fletching skill of the month. We had an impressive come from behind finish by Adaron Cronon, aka Touchpad Pro. He gained about 20 million XP in the span of 6 days and left Flash behind. Flash gained about 10 million XP, maintained a nice logarithmic graph. And third place, we saw Bletherskite with about 1.5 billion experience gain. So, how's that for a last-minute shaker?
I think someone's angry.
Yeah, I would be a little bit angry too, but that's the name of the game.
It's like, how'd that happen?
Anyways, in the somewhat more interesting woodcutting skill of the month, we got MageGuy08 currently in first place with about 1.7 million XP gained. Third place is Arcus with 1.3 million experience gained. And third place is Flash with 655,000 XP gained. And we got a bunch of people who have not chopped any wood yet this month. Okay. So get going. Primary resource skill of the month. Always interesting to watch. These ones are the best ones, you know, mining, smithing, or mining, fishing, and woodcutting.
Yeah, see, it's basically a test of endurance and who gets lucky, hey?
Pretty much, you know, but there's lots of ways to train woodcutting, so it is a test of endurance, and that's what makes it really great in my view.
Now you just try to put on the best movie, best, anime you can get your hands on and just turn off your brain for a while.
Some people sure, but definitely not me. Anyways, that's skill of the month.
Alright, so anyway, skill of the month, that's about it. And we have a informer roundup, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Anyway, here's Overloading Informer. And you can come and take a read of everything that happened in September.
Yeah, lots of good articles. Good job, everyone, this month. And highly recommend you go out there and read them all. My favorite one is the one that I wrote on the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's at informer.rsbnb.com. We have two achievements this week. First up, Mr. Bistro, 99 mining on the second.
And next up, we have Alex 43, who got 99 summoning on the first. Congratulations.
Yay. I was there for that.
I wasn't.
Same thing to anyone else out there. If you're having a 99, post it on RuneWire, let us know. We'll end up coming and sharing the festivities with you. So don't be a stranger. Let us know when you're having your 99s, and one of us will appear.
Okay. Yeah.
You remember how fun those are to go to?
Actually, well, you might come to mine soon. I'll tell more about that later.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
Shane, gotta pick.
Let's. Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do.
Picky, picky, picky.
Yeah, this is a pick for those of you guys who actually like email. Some people, you know, say, oh, God, email is so old-fashioned. What can I do with it? Where does its usefulness come from? But there's a web service out there. It's called news.me. N-E-W-S.me. It's one of those .me domains. And what you do is you create an account, you enter in your email address, then you do need to have a Twitter account with followers or a Facebook account. And what it does is it aggregates the links that your Twitter account and your Facebook sees daily and gives you a daily digest of what is going on. So, you know, let's say that a bunch of your friends share a certain link. That will appear in your news.me feed. Basically, what happens is you just get a list of what was popular on social media that day. So it's a way of using your Twitter account and your Facebook account for news, which is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. There are other ways of doing it, which I'll talk about at a later date. But right now, news.me is a good service to sign up for, and they don't spam you. So by all means, check it out. It's at news.me. Completely free, one email a day. You just check it, read it when you wake up, and there you go.
Go, Shane.
Yep, news.me.
Put the link in there, though.
Yep, I got it. So what have you been up to?
What I've been up to? I explored Elf City a little bit more. I actually did. Just a little bit, do some stuff in there. I actually did a dungeon run because I finally got every single task done for dungeoneering. Whew! Hey, I got it done.
Wow.
Oh, that counts.
Yeah.
And I got some people from RSBNB to help out, which was nice, and thank you for the help. I actually went to Frost Dragons to collect their bones, and with the help from player known ports, I'm actually just under 700k away with almost 490k bonus XP plus three parts of prayer, of prayer gear. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get 99 pretty soon.
Good.
And, yeah, that's about it. Mini farming runs at the Elf City because it's two patches. Just use it when I get there. Oops, my bad. And I don't know. I think rest of the month I may just go on charm hunting.
Oh yeah, that's a good thing to do. I like that just because you know it's a different way of getting charms and it's a way of training hunter as well. So.
Well, we'll talk about charm hunting. I mean, more of going to some slayer tasks and.
Oh, okay. Got
Oof.
It. I see what you mean.
Ooh.
Why?
Yeah. Nothing. I'm itchy.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for rest of Elf City to appear, and then I can do divination and get that 99 and be done with it. Maybe
Splendid. Splendid. Alrighty. As for me this week, a whole bunch of stuff. Let's start off with saying I got 91 and 92 thieving at the Monkey Knight Fighters, so that was good. Going for 93 so I can do at least two of the Elven clans in terms of thieving, just because they're so nice and fast and laid back. There's that. I also completed my full Death Lotus, which is nice. Have that one done. I only need the Sea Singers right now, which is less of a problem because I have level 75 magic gear, so it's okay. Also struck some luck on Treasure Hunter this week. Got a pair of lucky Bandos Tassets, which I cashed in for 2.5 million free GP.
Yay!
Free GP!
And got to the last region in ports as well, so...
Yay, you're caught up to us then. All right, Shane.
Yep.
So, let's see. Yeah, just do the storyline, get some XP, and, you know, honestly, all those...
All the story missions are done.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah, you can finish the storyline without even being in the last areas.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, you get better crew and work on better getting better crew. That's just what I'm doing now. I'm working on getting better crew, and I'm going to be doing massive layoffs again.
You like firing people.
I do. Especially in player on port. Especially if you're a coward. Really? Bye. I don't need cowards. I had a crew member that was a coward. Like, really? You're a combat crew member and you're a coward? Nah, you're done. Bye. And actually right now what I'm trying to work on is I'm trying to have everybody to have a trait. That's what I'm going to go for. Just everybody have a trait. Don't care what it is, as long as it's a positive trait, you'll be kept. So that's incentive for them to keep working, eh?
Yep. Oh, and I would also like to point everyone to the forums, specifically the goal and accomplishment forums. As I did redo a goal topic for going into the future to finally lay down some goals as completing 120 farming, or at least getting started, and that, and a couple of other tiny little things. So you can find that in the link on the show notes, update.rsbmb.com.
Okay.
Anything else this week for you?
Yeah, all right. That's about it.
Anyways, that's it for RSBMB Update this week, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye, y'all.